one of the things that I love, one of those moments that I love, are those kinds of epiphany moments. And we've talked a little bit about epiphany moments, right? Those moments that just the light bulb turns on and you see the world in an amazing and different way. And there are lots of ways that we can sometimes do that. Me in the church office has selected some amazing images where, especially whether we see pictures of them or especially if we have the opportunity to see some of these things in real life, whether it's this with not only the stars but the northern lights. Hold on, not that one yet. Oh, we'll get there. Oh, good. Whew. But we are going to be talking about some of that stuff in just a minute. But some of these images, whether we see them in real life, I remember the first time I ever went to the Grand Canyon. Like, just to see that sense of depth and majesty, and to come to an understanding of how long it took to carve that canyon. It's amazing. When somebody explained to me that light from the nearest galaxy left that galaxy to come here long before I was born, right? By looking at some of the stars in the sky, you're looking into the past, right? It's like visual time travel. It's amazing. When I was young, I remember seeing somebody play a drum set for the first time, and then, of course, I thought that I could do it, and so it's amazing that people can be that coordinated. music is one of those things that has had sort of mind-broadening impacts for me. I've said before, I grew up on country music. Dolly Parton was a staple in my home. Kenny Rogers, the Statler Brothers, right? But the first time I listened to Michael Jackson, oh, yeah. And then when I got into my rock phase and Van Halen and Guns N' Roses, oh, my goodness. Right? These mind-changing, perception-changing kinds of things. And social media has really latched onto this. And this is where we're about to get into that image that we showed, right? Social media has gotten into this thing about sort of shock value. And sometimes social media gets into shock value in ways that we don't necessarily want or need to be shocked. And sometimes it's this mind-opening perceptual thing where we're like, oh my gosh, I didn't realize that was the case. So let's go now, Ben, to that first image. I saw this on social media. This, of course, on the left is the pyramid at Giza, and then in the middle is a rendering of Cleopatra, and on the right is pizza. And you may be wondering what it is that those have in common. There's not a lot in common, except when you look at the dates, you realize that the life of Cleopatra is closer to the opening of Pizza Hut than it was to the pyramids at Giza. Oh, see, that's that mind-opening thing. Let's go to the next image, Ben. This never happened, Tyrannosaurus Rex and Stegosaurus. Because Stegosaurus was 155 million years ago, T-Rex was 65.5 million years ago, and when you realize we, modern humans, are closer to the life of Tyrannosaurus Rex than Tyrannosaurus Rex was to Stegosaurus. Oh. And here's another mind-bender that I don't know if any of you have seen. When we think about that song that we'd all like to let go, here is a fan theory about Anna and Elsa. That Anna and Elsa were Rapunzel's cousins. And this is looking at, there are no spoilers in this, right? This is just sort of, you might classify this as fan fiction, but it opens your mind to other possibilities, right? And if you look at Disney movies and things like that, the possibility that Anna and Elsa are Rapunzel's cousin, Rapunzel from Tangled, right? That it was on the way to Rapunzel's wedding that Anna and Elsa's parents were shipwrecked. It was their shipwreck that Ariel sees in the beginning of The Little Mermaid, but their parents didn't die. They washed up on an island and gave birth to a son named Tarzan. What? This stuff is crazy. But if you've seen those movies, and because I have children, I've seen all those movies, it could work. And it like blows my mind. But I don't think that movies and ancient history are the only ways that our minds get just blown away. Because it's my hope that each of us have had a moment in our faith where our mind has been blown away. Because I believe in a God who is infinite. A God who is so big, who is so massive, who is so timeless, that we, when we really open our hearts and our minds, can come to those mind-blowing realizations about the God who I believe created the universe in each one of us. I'd like to read a couple of scriptures that I think illustrate some of these mind-blowing moments for us. The first is out of the book of Genesis. So very early in our ancient history, and this is Abram, who would later be called Abraham, right? And if you, like I did, learned the song when you were a kid in church, Father Abraham had many sons, right? They had many children, right? And this is the story that song is about, right? So it starts with verse 17. When Abram was 99 years old, the Lord appeared to him and said, I am El Shaddai, God Almighty. Serve me faithfully and live a blameless life. I will make a covenant with you by which I will guarantee to give you countless descendants. Now, Abram is 99 years old, hasn't had any children. He's married. His wife, whose name is Sarai, but her name would be changed to Sarah, right, has never had any children. She's around his age, too. And if we know anything about medicine, we know that childbirth around that time, one, is impossible, and two, is very dangerous, especially for Sarai. So how does Abram respond to God saying, you're going to have countless descendants? At this, Abram fell face down on the ground. If you look in context at the ancient Hebrew, that's written as he fell face down on the ground. And look at some other texts that use that same Hebrew. He's literally falling down on his face in laughter. Can you imagine the idea? Imagine for a second that you're 99 years old and somebody says to you, you're about to get pregnant. Can you imagine doing the same thing, falling down on your face in laughter? This is what Abram does. It's so absolutely mind-blowingly ridiculous that he falls down. Then God said to him, this is my covenant with you. I will make you the father of a multitude of nations. What's more, I am changing your name. It will no longer be Abram. Instead, you will be called Abraham, for you will be the father of many nations. I will make you extremely fruitful. Your descendants will become many nations, and kings will be among them. I will confirm my covenant with you and your descendants after you from generation to generation. This is the everlasting covenant. I will always be your God and the God of your descendants after you. Now, if you remember the story of Father Abraham, does he have children? Yes. And so this idea that is so laughingly ridiculous that he falls down on his face, now this is one to whom many faith traditions look as a central point in the beginning of their faith. Indeed, Abraham has countless descendants. And it would be easy for us to try to listen to God saying these things and say, well, God surely must mean something different. In other words, it seems like we work really hard to limit God. And among other things, I just don't think that's our job. I've talked before about Holy Communion, and we're celebrating Holy Communion today, and I think this is a little bit of a parallel about how we can experience God. Right? When we say to someone, you can't receive communion because of A, B, or C, whatever, it doesn't matter, what we're doing is we're making the communion table smaller. I believe that God calls us to make the communion table larger, that all are invited to receive the sacrament of Holy Communion, the means of grace that we know as Holy Communion. I think that God is constantly inviting us to broaden who is invited to receive communion. And I think that God is constantly inviting us to broaden our perspective about who God is and how God works. As soon as we start saying that God only takes place here inside of this particular building, we're limiting God. As soon as we start saying God only speaks through this kind of prayer, or only speaks through this kind of music, or only speaks through this kind of denomination, as soon as we start to do those things, we limit God, and I just don't think God can be limited, because I think that God is bigger than that. I believe in a God who's bigger than that. And I think it's challenging for us to really open our hearts and our minds to all that God can be. And there are many who argue, and I can't argue against it, that perhaps we are so limited that we cannot get the infiniteness that is God. I don't think that ought to keep us from trying. As challenging as it is, as much as it hits us in the face with everything that we've been taught and everything that we've known, and then we come to this new realization, as challenging as those things are, I don't think we should stop trying, because the challenges are real and the challenges can help us come to new understanding. Because I believe that when we get out of our comfort zones, that those changes in perception, we're more able to make. Another scripture comes from the Gospel of Mark. And this is the 8th chapter, verse 31. Jesus has just completed a miracle in feeding thousands of people with bread and fish. Jesus has just, for the first time in the Gospel of Mark, been identified as the Messiah. Peter identifies him as the Messiah. And then Jesus does something shocking. Then Jesus began to tell them that the Son of Man must suffer many terrible things and be rejected by the elders, the leading priests, and the teachers of religious law. He would be killed, but 3 days later would rise from the dead. As he talked about this openly with his disciples, Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him for saying such things. Can you imagine seeing all these miraculous things from the disciples' point of view? Then Jesus said, well, I'm going to die, and then I'm going to come back. And it seems like they focus on that first part and not that second part. It seems like they focus on the death part and not on the resurrection part. And sometimes it's easy for us to do. Now, we as United Methodists, in fact, we as Protestants, like it's in our nature to focus on the resurrection part. Why do you think we have a cross, an empty cross, and not a crucifix? Part of our symbol of the choice to focus on the resurrection part and not the crucifixion part. Well, here's how Jesus responds with verse 33. Jesus turns around and looked at his disciples and reprimanded Peter. Get away from me, Satan, he said. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's. Broaden your perspective. Open your mind. Then calling the crowd to join his disciples, he said, if any of you wants to be my follower, you must turn from your selfish ways, take up your cross and follow me. If you try to hang on to your life, you'll lose it. But if you give up your life for my sake and for the sake of the good news, you will save it. And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul? Is anything worth more than your soul? If anyone is ashamed of me and my message in these adulterous and sinful days, the Son of Man will be ashamed of that person when he returns to the glory of his Father with the holy angels. Can you imagine that moment for Peter, for all of the disciples? When Jesus says your perspective is more narrow than God's, and perhaps you need to take a minute to shift. Perhaps you need to take a minute to get out of your own head, to get out of your comfort zone, to get out of what could be a sense of perceptual narcissism, and open yourself to the greatness that is God, so that instead of limiting God, we become more aware of the great work that God continues to do. To hear God, to see God, to experience God in more ways than we ever think we can. As we are in this season of Lent, as we are in this process where we discover and explore the wilderness of our own doubt, of our own ways that we limit God, let us instead turn ourselves to a God who is bigger, a God who is more present, a God who is more capable, a God who is. I close in a prayer. Holy and gracious God, who continues to speak and act, God who sees all and knows all, and who calls each of us to participate in your ongoing work, give us strength. Just as you give us open eyes and open ears and open hearts and open minds, so that we might come to more fully understand you and your work and our place in your universe. Help us to see you. Help us to know you. And help us not be limited by our own fears and doubts. We pray this in the name of your Son, our Christ. Amen.